You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.
Now, when Malala Yousafzai needed treatment for her injuries at the hands of the Taliban, it was to the University Hospital's Birmingham NHS Trust that she was admitted. The decision had to be made by the chief executive there, Dame Julie Moore. She started as a nurse and worked her way up to run one of the country's biggest and busiest hospitals. She was made a dame in 2011 for services to healthcare, and she's on the Woman's Hour Power List. Dame Julie, how easy a decision was it to admit a damaged little girl who was at the centre of political turmoil?
To be honest, it was one of the more difficult decisions I've ever made, and it was compounded by the fact that at the time I had a very bizarre allergic reaction to an antibiotic and had jaundice and a liver problem. I was in my sick bed when I had a call late at night from one of my people saying this had happened, and our doctors were over there. We do quite a lot of work with Pakistan and Pakistan military, and some of our guys were over there trying to set up a transplant program when it happened. The call basically came through, and so what runs through your mind? Are you putting the trust or anybody else at risk? Because I don't know about the likelihood of anything coming through. But at the back of it was there was an injured girl who needed urgent treatment that we could provide, that my guys were saying she really needed to come and have the surgery. So the answer was yes. Then, of course, we tried to tell all the proper departments, because I think this was one probably the government wanted to know about.
I know you've said that you just thought it was the right thing to do, and that's something you apply across the board. How do you generally know what is the right thing to do?
It is something we often say at the Trust, and when decisions are very hard, we think just what is the right thing to do, and it's what your values are, it's what drives you, it's what makes you want to do better day by day for the patients you look after. Sometimes that's quite hard to do, because sometimes you're being told to do something else, but actually that's the guiding principle that we would try to adhere to all the time.
What originally drew you to nursing?
Oddly, I was going to be a scientist. I wanted to go and study physics, and then I became ill and went into hospital, and I saw that actually the people who made a real difference to the lives of patients were nurses, so I thought, well, I'll go and have a go at that then.
And how did you like nursing?
I've never not enjoyed a job. I've been in some pretty terrible places where I know that we weren't doing what the best we could for patients that left, but actually I've always enjoyed what I've done, and I've always enjoyed making things better.
How ambitious were you at the time when you were actually working on the ward? Were you looking around yourself thinking, I could do this better?
Never at all. I started off as a nurse, and my great ambition was to be a staff nurse. And when I was a staff nurse, and you sort of look around you and you think, actually, if I ran this ward, I could make all these changes. So then I wanted to be a sister. And it kept going on, that actually I could have a bigger influence and do more at the next level up. And it just sort of kept happening, really. I didn't have a plan. I didn't prepare for it in any way. I never set out thinking one day I want to run an organisation. It was the furthest thought from my mind.
Now, people will often say the problem with the NHS is not enough nurses, too many managers. How do you justify going from the coalface to the administration?
Well, it's all the coalface, really. And actually, you have to have well-run organisations. It's quite interesting that when things are running well, there's too many managers and not enough nurses. And when things are going badly, it's the manager's fault. So actually, they must have an impact. I've worked with good chief execs, bad chief execs, good managers, bad managers, and they really do make a difference. One of the best things I think about is, if people aren't complaining about the management, then it's probably okay. You only really notice it when it's very bad and that when it has that really negative impact on the front line. So I think you do need well-managed, well-run organisations. Somebody once calculated that there are more transactions in one hospital in one day than in all the banking system of North America. So it's a highly complex organisation. The work we do is very critical. It has to be very well-managed.
Now, I know there was a point when you discovered that male nurses were being paid more than female nurses because they may have to support a family. What impact did that knowledge have on you?
It made me pretty cross, actually. I remember being a student nurse at the time, and that was quite a developmental time for so many reasons, where other nurses working around me were saying, of course, I don't mind male nurses being paid more because they might have a family, whereas we're doing it just for pin money. And I remember, I'd always been a feminist anyway, but feeling a sense of outrage, not that anybody, but there's somebody working alongside doing the same job would even say that. The other point I noticed at the time was, although male nurses were only at that time about 2% of the total workforce, they made up more than 50% of chief nurses.
And to what extent has that now changed?
I think that's changed quite a lot. I think there's far more male nurses in the workforce. They make a really valuable contribution, and at all levels. But actually, I think that there is the way society's progressed, I think, has been reflected in nursing as well.
Now, I know you've always been very open about being a lesbian, having a civil partnership. What prompted that degree of openness?
Well, I wasn't. When I first became a nurse on my very first ward, you're a little 18-year-old, you've just got the uniform on for the first time, and you're thinking, you're almost like in a play. And sitting down for my first ward report, and a patient had been brought in having attempted suicide. And at the ward report, it got to this patient, and the sister, in hushed tones, said, "Well, of course she'd try and kill herself, she's a lesbian. And, you know, what kind of life must these people lead?" And at that point, I started thinking, hang on. If this is the way people are perceived here, what's going on, and plunged you into the turmoil. So as a student nurse, I went through, you say nothing about your home life, you say nothing about your outside life, you don't go to staff do's where they say bring your partner, you just keep the two halves of your life completely separate. But there came a point where I was just tired of it. I was tired of the pretense, I was tired of not talking and all the rest of it. So when actually it was only when I came to Birmingham that I really, truly came out. In my previous job I had been, but I had attracted the you just haven't met the right man kind of approach up before. And believe me, if I hadn't met the right man, the man who said that to me certainly wasn't. But when I came to Birmingham, I just had enough and just said up front at my informal visit, you know, this is it. And actually, it's been great since then. Even dealing with the military, I thought there'd be an issue. There has not been. They have been fantastic too.
Now, the new hospital opened in 2010, and it's already reported as too small. You're having to use wards in the old hospital. Yeah. How much pressure is the service under?
We found last year we treated 55,000 more patients than we were supposed to or contracted to. We found that problems in neighbouring hospitals meant patients voted with their feet and came to us. We saw an 18% increase in our A&E attendances. Now, some of this is to do with what happens in the whole health economy, as it's now called, what happens in primary care, in community care and in other hospitals. Some of it is reflecting an increase in demand as we have more elder people with more diseases individually coming through the doors, and they're frailer, older and sicker. And so we've now got at least a sort of another 250 beds open in the old QE, which presents problems for us because clearly we felt it wasn't suitable any longer for healthcare. Well, we built the new one, but the new one is full. We've agreed plans, and by the end of November we'll have opened up a further 83 beds in preparation for the coming winter.
But, I mean, in addition to the job of running this massive hospital, you've been drafted in by the Health Secretary to work with hospitals with special measures. How worried are you about your ability to hold services together given the extent of the savings you're having to make?
Well, the first thing in helping the other trusts is that it will not impact on what we do at UHB. I find a lot of these smaller trusts are in a very difficult position. They haven't got the size to have the critical mass for some infrastructure like an informatics service, so they really know what's going on, so we can help with those services. But I think, actually, we're facing a decision in this nation about how we do provide hospital services to the entire population, because as we face the financial problems of the coming years, we haven't got the money to keep propping up smaller places that we used to do in the old days, so we have to find a more sustainable solution. And it isn't about closing these hospitals, because actually the healthcare needs to be delivered there. It's about how we find new ways of delivering hospital services into those communities, but in a sustainable way, that we're not constantly facing recruitment crises, money crises, you know, can't get people out. Some of these places are telling us they've only got one consultant in a specialty. Well, that's not enough. That you can't be on call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We've got to find a new way of doing this.
You're off to Downing Street now. Are they listening to you?
Yes, they are. What I've been quite pleased about at the moment is that there does seem to be the Secretary of State and politicians are wanting to get to grips with how we deal with making sure that the quality of the other hospitals comes up to that of the best.